boards. If you ain't hard like the boulevard, erase your boards. Hesitate and get sent to the void.
But if he survives,
man, he caught the keloid. First of all, use a wind-up toy. I don't battle MCs, I kill androids. Teacher said, you too loose in the head. You don't get a graham cracker, you go straight to bed.
Playtime's over,
go straight to special ed. Play with Simon, do as he says. Professor X taught me best how to levitate SB-12s at recess. The lineup, yo.
We know that you have many options when it comes to nerd podcasts and geeky goodness. And today you chose right. Welcome to the I Want More Comics podcast number 51. I'm Richie.
Woo, I'm Zach.
You're a dork.
No, you gotta say, I'm Sean.
I'm Sean.
There you
You're
go.
Still a dork.
He just derails every show. He's like that really annoying guest on The Match Game or anybody in the 70s that just would throw everything off of the show.
I'm endearing.
You're you are, because things. People no. love those.
Don't,
those
no, don't feed
Encourage me. Yeah, exactly. Feed the animal. Yes. Inside.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, today we're going to get started like we normally do with the news.
So today in the news, I got a couple things from the greater comic book world. Then we got a lot of stuff going on here in store.
Oh, goodness.
Like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, let's break it down. You do one, I'll do one, and then we'll both do the other.
Break it down.
Okay, well, let me get to the comic book stuff.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do the comic book stuff really quickly. There's only two items because we have a ton of stuff to talk about here. Marvel released, kind of, the cover to Secret Empire number 9, and yeah. It's blacked out what it is, but it says this is going to reveal the secret of Steve Rogers and why he's been acting the way that he has been.
I thought
underneath it just said, trust us. We're Marvel.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
We'll see.
It's for number 9. They released it. It has a lot of people are talking about it, so it'll be interesting. And then this is pretty cool, though. This is pretty cool. We just announced was the 6-issue miniseries Batman White Knight, written and drawn by Sean Gordon Murphy.
I haven't heard about this.
Yes.
Give me some deets.
I guess he's been working on it for many years. That's mm-hmm. why we haven't heard from him in a while. Mm-hmm. And it is going to be a 6-issue miniseries where Joker is the hero that Gotham deserves and Batman's the villain.
So an Elseworlds?
Kind of, yes.
Okay.
Is it like that Batman Elseworlds one-off?
Kind of, yeah. It's the cover is the Joker standing there against Gotham, at least for issue 1, and like Batman's face is all sinister and stuff. So it's supposed to be a really weird, interesting
Sean
take.
Murphy can do it, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's Sean Gordon Murphy, 6 yeah. issues.
I do
He's
like his
the drawing, all of it. Yeah,
his scribbles are nice.
I do,
so,
too.
I'll check it out. So, okay, let's get into the store stuff.
Right,
we
so
got
why
a
don't
ton.
You hit up with the book club?
Okay, so we have two book clubs we are doing now.
That is correct.
The first one that we are doing at
Always
the end of this
down.
Month... this month, on
That'll
July,
be the theme of this.
Yeah, on July 27th, we're going to be meeting here at I Want More Comics from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. and we're going to be doing Jeff Lemire's Trillium.
Yes,
which we've been sold out for a while because it's been popular,
mm-hmm.
but we just got some of those in. Great story, great book. If you've never read it, definitely check it out. We of course always have them here available in store if you're local. So if you want to come pick it up, it's 25% off for walk-ins, 30% off for hold slots. You don't have to read the book if you don't want to. You can just come and hang out.
We
as
do
well.
Have people that show up and yep. just like to
just
be
talk,
part of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Or if
I will
read
say
the
though,
issues,
if you can get the issues,
yeah.
that is a much better way to read this book.
Yeah,
this
I'm
is one of this
talk
is the only ones
the
I would say that
book
this is
club because everyone keeps saying that.
They're designed a different way than most comics.
Yeah,
are,
and so again, it's not one of those things where you have to buy to play. You
right.
can just show up.
Yeah,
we're just
absolutely.
Making it easier for you guys to pick up books. July 20th is going to be, we started up a Dragon Ball Club.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be reading the entire Dragon Ball manga. All of the they've done these awesome collections, which are 3-in-1s.
Yes.
So there's 14 books total for the entire Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z saga. If you've never read Dragon Ball, if you're a fan of the anime when you were growing up and never read the story, again, same kind of deal, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m.
Just
on,
come by and talk
yep.
some sweet Dragon Ball action.
Yeah, exactly. We do have those available here in store as
come
well.
Here.
We're going to, we have...
Super Saiyan.
Yeah, we already have a group of people that have told me they're going to be showing up.
Yes.
So we're going to have a lot of fun. So if you haven't read it, or if you just want to talk Dragon Ball, come on down.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So book clubs, manga, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Excellent. So I'll take on to the next one. We do weekly a live stream sale.
Yes.
Our stream sale is on Facebook, your Facebook Live. So if you have a Facebook account, you already have access to it. Just follow the I Want More Comics page.
Yep.
And Friday at 6:30, we do a sale. We put up stuff, items that we think are good. We kind of look through our back area and through some of our boxes.
6 to 8
is what I meant to say.
Yes.
Mountain Standard Time.
You were just listening to him say 6:30. Yes. But yeah, it's 6 to 8, everybody.
It's 6 to 8 Mountain Standard Time. And you can buy items. We have Zach will pop up on the screen and he'll display some amazing comics, and the
you're
easiest
see his beautiful face, and he'll talk about them and tell you why they're cool and why you should buy them.
And it's really easy to buy. We have a lot of fun.
It's the easiest way to get comics, and I think one of the most unique experiences currently in like nerd to customer base communications. So and the really interesting news is that when you hear this podcast, we should be in our doing it twice a week, which means on Wednesday nights from 6 to 8 Mountain Standard Time, we will again be available on Facebook Live to buy up more comics.
Yep.
So if you could never watch it on Friday because you're working or partying with your friends, now you have another day that you can tune in, get all that geeky goodness, and really experience something I'm pretty proud of. So
yeah, it's a lot of fun. So definitely join us. We have a lot of fun. 4 hours of comic goodness with Richie and Zach.
That's right.
Every week.
And you don't have to buy to enjoy. Just kind of see if it's your flavor.
Yep. We have people that just like to watch and listen to us talk about comic books. So.
That's right.
And then the last thing, we can all talk about
this.
That's
correct.
We have gotten some details together, and we are going to announce that we are going to be doing the DC Metal Midnight release.
So for those that don't know, Metal is the newest arc, kind of a DC Universe crossover with Batman as the main focus point. The people behind this is Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, who ran the New 52 series and are kind of hailed as some of the best Batman writers of all time.
Yep.
And so this is the next journey of that.
Exactly.
They gave us two prequels called The Forge and The Casting, which I think we've talked about a little bit.
Yeah.
This is DC History 101. There is so much he's pulling from. And there's several things that we're doing in celebration of that.
Exactly. So the big thing is we're going to be doing...
drunk?
What?
You can if you want to. I'm okay with that.
Sweet.
So we're going to be doing a midnight event. So that's going to be August 16th at 12:01.
Yes.
For people wanting to figure it out, basically that Tuesday.
Tuesday night.
We're going to open up at 11:30.
Yes.
And at 12:01, which is technically the 16th.
That's when we can sell you the comic.
That's when we can sell you the comic.
So I'm not going to come unless there's cake.
Yeah, well, there's going to be cake.
Awesome.
We're going to have a DC.
I'm not going to come unless there's metal music.
There's going to be metal music.
Oh, okay, good.
We're going to have metal music. We're going to have a cake that's going to be the cover of the Midnight release, which is an awesome Greg Capullo Batman holding some axes.
Yes.
We're going to be doing a live podcast.
Yep.
We're trying to figure it out, but we're probably going to be doing some sort of live stream as well.
Yep.
And we're going to be having, we're going to have some balloons, and it's going to be an awesome party.
Right.
We're going to be doing a raffle that's going to coincide with everything. If you show up, you get a raffle ticket instantly.
And what is that raffle ticket for?
So the number one prize is going to be the 1 in 100 Midnight variant. Oh. You can win for free.
That's awesome.
If you get first place. Second through fifth place, we're going to be giving away some trade paperbacks and some Silver Age Batman issues. And all you have to do is show up.
That's it.
And you'll get a ticket. Also, this is really cool. Mm-hmm. At midnight, we are expecting a phone call from Scott Snyder himself.
That's the man.
To thank everybody for the event and for putting it on.
That's correct.
And so that's what we're going to be doing that night. It's going to be fun. The midnight releases have always been big. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You can listen, if you're a podcast listener and you haven't gone back and listened, we did a Rebirth one. If you have listened, it's going to be kind of the same thing. Not as long, I don't think, but it's going to be the same kind of deal. Then also, if you can't make that, but you are interested in the event,
right.
We have right now some pre-order packages.
Right, so there are two packages in this, and there's one where you get the 23 remaining titles, because the Forge and the Casting have already come out.
Yeah,
the
so it's metal.
Yeah, yep. So everything metal-related, that's the series, the one-shots, and the tie-ins, it's 23 titles for $59.99.
Yep.
Buying that gets you everything, and that takes care of you from August all the way up to February.
Up to February, yep. And that's better than 25% off cover price if you do it that way.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's going to be our... we've already had quite a few people do that pre-order option. But we also have the Uber package as well. And that means all the variants for all the different books that have been announced, except for the Midnight 1 in 100 that comes out that night.
Yeah.
But it does include the Midnight as well.
Excellent. So just even the regular if you don't show Midnight. Up to the Midnight, you'll get that variant as well. That's
exactly.
Nice.
So, and the, basically, why is this a big deal? Every issue of Metal is going to come with a variant covered by Jim Lee, Andy Kubert, and John Romita Jr. So there will be three additional covers to the main cover for just the main Metal ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there'll be like the usual variants that they have for Titans and Flash, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They have not said that any of the one-shots are going to have variants. They have not announced any of that. They said that there aren't. So if you want to, it's going to be, if I remember correctly, it's about 50 books. Is going to be $149.99 is going to be the price tag for that. But that's everything.
That's it.
Every variant, except for the 1 in 100.
Yep.
And you'll get everything. All the tie-ins and its variants. You can have the Uber Deluxe Package. You don't have to be a hold slot to sign up. You can sign up with us. You can come in and prepay. It goes till August 11th.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening to this or if you want to do it after August 11th, then that's a bummer. But if you do any of these packages, you do get five raffle tickets for the event.
Mm-hmm.
If you show up that night and you have an Uber package or a regular package, get an additional ticket. So you'll get six
chances.
You'll get six chances at winning some of these cool items.
Right.
You don't need to show up, but we'd like you to.
Absolutely.
We're going to have a lot of fun. You know, Richie and I are going to sing and dance maybe a little bit.
Absolutely.
We will see what happens.
Yep. So that's August 16th, guys. And again, we'll have more information on our website. If you have any other questions, don't forget to ask Zach or I.
Yep. And check Facebook.
If you
check Twitter.
Sean, point you right to us.
Exactly. check Twitter. Check Facebook.
I'll just tell you to buy it.
Exactly. And also look out for
just buy it.
Look out for videos that Richie and I are going to be doing.
Yes.
We're going to be doing a video for every issue that ties in with Metal. We're going to be talking about it because we're DC fanatics and we want to help people along with some of the crazy stuff that they are doing.
There are some deep pulls in this arc. So
some stuff that make Jeff Johns very proud.
Yes.
So.
All right. Excellent. All right. So we'll go from the news and slide into a little something more comfortable, like picks of the week.
All right. Let's have Sean do his pick.
Sean. So
last week there was a book
came out from Image called Sacred Creatures.
Mm-hmm.
We sold out of it.
Yep.
Sacred Creatures number one. It was the reason why. So I can usually have the artist and writer readily, like, just ready, handy to name off who they are. I think I should probably look that up on my phone. Or maybe
probably.
You could do that while I'm talking.
Stall. If I remember correctly, it's like Ramondi, and it's going to be, what's his name? It's going to be Han, I think. But continue with what you were saying.
Okay. So this is a book that I actually, it's one of the ones I read as a PDF originally, through Image, because they send me those.
Uh-huh.
And it was a meaty read, man. It is long. And I figured out why when the books came in. Because it's like a double-sized book for like $5.
Okay.
So the book itself is like 80 pages or something crazy like that.
Yeah, it's 66 pages.
There you go, 66 pages.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the basic story of the book is, what if the seven deadly sins were manifest as people and they decided they were going to figure out a way to take over the world?
I dig it.
That's the basic elevator pitch to the book.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they have people that they put in place and use to meet these ends. And it just there's a lot going on in this book. It's heavy duty, dude. And look, when I first tried to read it, I was kind of, I think I was busy at the time, so I was trying to read it and I was busy and
right.
It got lost in me. So I tried again,
and it really caught me. I really enjoyed the book. I liked it a lot, and I think it's got a really cool, different story to tell.
Nice.
So that's kind of why it became my pick of the week last week. Mm-hmm. If you can find one, because I know they're already sold out through the distributor. Like, I'm sure they'll be doing second printings, hopefully. Image.
Probably, yeah.
Talking to you. Because I could sell this book all day, sure. All night. I still don't think we ordered enough. We got something like
It was a thicker
40.
Book that I remember. Right?
Yeah, it was like 66 pages.
66 pages, yeah.
But I think we got 40 copies in here, plus a couple variants, and...
Gone.
They were gone.
They were gone. Mm-hmm.
Pablo Raimondi.
Yep, is the story and art, and Klaus Janson helped with the story as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the art was really good. It was really fitting for the book, too.
It does look good, yeah. I have one. I just haven't read it yet because...
You need to.
I know. It's on the top of the stack, so I will definitely be checking it out.
That's really good.
Yeah, and I'm sorry you didn't take one.
Yeah. I'm really upset that there's a Frank Miller variant, and I didn't grab one.
No, yeah, you didn't. That's true.
The Frank Miller variant was a 1 in 25.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Then that doesn't hurt me as bad.
Yeah, you had to order 25 to get that one. Okay. It was a cool variant, too. I can show you the cover, and you'll cry because I know you like that guy for some reason.
Yeah, I really do.
There we go. All right, well, let's check that out, Sacred Creatures.
I'm a pretty big Klaus Janson fan, too. I have a sketch from Batman for him.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Namtown? All right. Richie, what about you? What do you got?
What you got? I chose The Walking Dead 169.
Excellent.
The Walking Dead is... kind of like a clear book, that like an easy pick.
Sure.
It's one of those picks that's kind of a throwaway because, duh.
It was good.
But this issue in particular has a lot of setup, I think, for the... Sean and I both talk about the exposition in this book, and it's building. It's really setting up for the next... It's setting up all the dominoes to fall for the next kind of arc.
Sure.
In this... Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you missed it, sorry.
Really awesome. He just showed me the Sacred Creatures variant that I should have got... But now I've got to go hunt for. Anyway.
This issue is definitely a transition issue. There's a lot going on here.
For Walking Dead,
For Walking Dead, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of story change and story starts, and a little bit of wrap up from other stuff.
Tiny
wrap
ups that,
but ends and ends. A lot of this is opening up various plot lines.
Right. And in particular, there is a scene in the center of this book that. I just was giddy about. It shows a lot of this with Rick's kind of new, I guess, persona. He's been kind of somber, very leader-like. Doesn't really show his emotions a ton. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten, without spoilers, he's gone through a lot in the last four issues. And it's kind of been... And he's still kind of held it together more than you would think. And he kind of lets a little bit of... Rick out in this issue.
It was pretty horrific.
And it's probably the... when I read the line, I got a little bit of a chill because I just read it in a Rick voice that I hadn't heard in, like, since, I don't know, maybe the prison. maybe the first Negan arc. It's really good, and it stuck with me. It was one of the best reads I had last week, so that's why I picked it. I really enjoyed it.
Would you say the Rick moment was like that? What was that meme going around with all those kids standing around? And it was like...
I'm trying to get with you. What?
Like they're all going ape crazy, and there've been a bunch of different animations from it and stuff like that. I can't remember what the original source was, though.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do.
I don't.
Oh, you're fired.
I did.
It's a
like,
mic drop moment for Rick, for sure.
I was going to say, if it's a mic drop where like all the guys in the background are like, oh.
You got it. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's totally it. Yes.
Okay.
And just the comics like kind of standing there going like,
yep,
what? Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. Now I'm with you. Yes.
Get on my bus.
That's right. So, yes. Definitely a great read. If you have read it, come talk to me about it because I want to spill the beans about it and just gush all over how awesome that scene was. So.
Excellent.
Zach, what about you, my friend?
All right. Well, so I was conflicted today trying to figure out what I was going to pick because the thing I really, really enjoyed from last week, but like you, Richie, I need to stop talking about it. is Batman 26 from Tom King.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. We've been gushing about him for a long time in this podcast. The only reason why I'm bringing it up now is because there's a lot more people jumping on now.
Yeah, the War of Jokes and Riddles is, I think a lot of people are going to hop in on this train now.
Yes, well, and especially one of the biggest things has been that Batman Elmer Fudd issue. If you have been listening to us the last couple weeks, you've heard all of us, Sean included, gush about that issue.
Yeah.
And so many people have read that and said, is this Tom King writing this? We said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people pick up trade paperbacks, start with the War of Jokes and Riddles. So it's really cool to me to see more people jumping onto him into that run because of a Batman Elmer Fudd comic. Right. So if you're not reading it, pick that up. That's fantastic.
Just know that Zach and I would talk about Batman like it was
an episodic.
We could do a podcast about
they
every
don't
issue.
Would they do while I'm standing here in the store and I'm wanting to like stab my ear holes out with sharp implements.
Sean doesn't hear it anymore. Sean hasn't read a single one, and I bet he knows more about the story than most.
No, I pretty much blocked that out and put it in the
Yeah. So Tom King, fantastic. Yeah. But another book that I've really been enjoying, and I haven't been giving it a ton of love on here, has been Green Lanterns. So this week I'm picking Green Lanterns number 26, which is another book I'm really enjoying. And this book from the get-go has had some controversy. It's had some lukewarm receptability because they're two new Green Lanterns, and the whole story has been leading up to this 26 issues, them becoming more of a team and them caring about each other. The first couple issues of Green Lanterns, they didn't like each other and all they did was bicker and fight. But over these last 25 issues, they've really
kind of formed a bond.
Formed a bond, and now they're really kind of clipping along. And right now they're doing a story with the First Ring. You find out that back in the old Green Lantern mythos, that somebody invented the First Ring, and somebody there's a certain character that wants to get it so that he can, you know, try and do some evil stuff as villains like to do.
Right.
So this whole issue is going to be a one shot kind of story, leading up to the backstory of what's been going on.
Hmm.
And I really like the artist on here. I can't say the guy's name, but it is like Cliquette.
Yeah, that's why I would say Cliquette.
Yeah, Cliquette.
Ronan Cliquette.
Yeah, really like his art. He's been going off. He's been switching off with the main artist on this book. And it's just a fun Green Lantern read. I think that the Green Lantern books since Rebirth have gone back to a really good base level of fun. Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns are, you know, that good old Green Lantern Kilowog sort of thing. But this book is going to be your risk-taking chances kind of book. And I really enjoy that about this. Like I said, it's a one-shot story. It's going to be setting up what they're doing in the next kind of arc, that sort of thing. But I really dig that there's a new Green Lantern book, because that's part of the legacy of Green Lanterns. Everyone has their own different Green Lantern.
Of course.
And so when people go, oh, these aren't my Green Lanterns, you know, I understand. They're not my number one or two either.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the point of Green Lanterns.
Right.
And it's kind of the same as Flash. You know, they have that legacy characteristic. So I love the mythos, and I do love these characters now being part of the group.
Yeah.
So in Metal or in whatever crossover someday shows up, I want to see Jessica and those guys show up behind Jay and Guy and all those guys.
Sounds good.
So yeah, if you haven't been reading Green Lanterns, because I know some people jumped off in the beginning when it was the characters were really clashing.
Yeah.
And they did, but that was the point.
Right.
And now they're back to kicking butt and taking names. So check that out.
Excellent choices. Speaking of excellent choices, maybe we should talk about not so excellent choices and spinning the Rex.
Spinning the Rex.
Spinning the Rex.
All right, so explain the thinking of tonight spinning the Rex for the folks out there.
So, at home. So we're on episode 51, and
this isn't 50.
This is.
I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
I'm going to throw jokes. You.
I got jokes.
You got jokes. So,
I love setting you off.
Yeah. we've had a ton of episodes, including specials, and one of our main focuses when we started this podcast was doing our absolute best to stay positive. There's a lot of podcasts out there that can be completely focused on the negative, and some are really good about you know, discussing the things they dislike in certain aspects. We're kind of the phenomenon that it is tougher to be positive all the time, but it's also a lot more fun.
It's like nerd collector nature is to nitpick and be cynical about things.
Sure.
I notice it, like a lot of people that I talk to, they find things to be extremely cynical about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
sometimes it's just a movie.
Right. Sure. Well, and if you guys are local,
sometimes it's just a whatever movie. Yeah. You're just going to go see the movie and enjoy the movie. But sometimes it's, or a comic book.
Right.
You're just enjoying it for what it is. But sometimes people have to be so cynical that they have to nitpick the hell out of it.
Well, and I think that, and if you're local and you know, shop at the store or been here, you know that Richie and I have that mentality of it's more fun for us to be positive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as fun to be critical. Right. You know, we can talk about, oh, in this issue we didn't like this art or whatever, but that's not as much fun. And so we definitely added that to the podcast.
And with, with that being said,
I'm definitely the most cynical out of
us. But even with that, I would say that people are kind of know us now, like, as like, oh, we're just happy about everything, and I wanted to kind of put that a little to bed, and we're gonna go ahead and do a negative-esque podcast today.
Yes,
we're not gonna go crazy or bash anyone's, you know, favorite comic book or publisher or anything like that. What we're gonna do? Nope, we're not doing that.
Sign up for this.
But we are going to dive into our favorite misrepresentations, I'll call it, of our comic book heroes in the different mediums, TV, movies, and things like that.
Yeah.
So get ready. We're going to talk about some really nasty movies. And
things like that, yeah.
If you remember from our...
Just for every nasty movie that you think that you might think is nasty, somebody out there actually likes it.
Well, I know that most people don't share my love for Batman v Superman, so hopefully we'll agree more on this aspect of one of the other ones I dislike.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and even then, we'll get to it when we talk about, we're going to talk about all different kinds of things, but we all kind of picked, like, one thing.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about mine when we get there, but I own this movie on Blu-ray. I watch it every time. You know what I mean? So even when we're talking about movies that we don't like, we all probably still own them and have watched them. So it's not a...
That's not true.
Yeah, I don't know the ones.
I'm going to say that's not true.
There are a certain few. So I wanted to bring up, right off the bat, one of the ones was Old... not Old Man Logan. Wolverine Origins.
Wolverine Origins, okay. Yep.
So the X-Men films, I didn't think... I thought that Hugh Jackman was pulling off a Wolverine that I didn't expect in the medium.
Sure.
And I thought was true to the character.
Yes.
Then they do Origins, and I recognize that even if you have the best actor with the best intentions, you can still flop really bad. And Origins is one of those films that I almost walked out of the theater in.
Was that that was the first one?
That was the first one.
That was his Deadpool. First solo flight.
Yeah, and they sewed his mouth shut.
So, what they needed to do was just pretty much end it after they hit the compound and call it good.
Right.
Because all that opening sequence, that should have been the movie.
That
was amazing.
That was cool, yeah.
That was good, too, except for Logan talking about how he doesn't want to be the one killing everyone. He was telling, like, hey, guys, I don't want to kill anyone here. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like Wolverine at all. That doesn't... At this state, he would have gone feral and started just murdering people. And
yeah, but according to the comic books, when you're crossing mediums, you have the license to change.
Absolutely.
And they took the story's told.
They totally took that.
And they took
what I was
going to
say
it.
Is that even though I'm not the biggest fan of that movie, Hugh Jackman... For me, was never terrible in it.
Not once. He was sacrificed to the writing.
Yes.
And the direction of that film.
100%.
When he went back to back with Sabretooth.
Yeah.
At the end, I almost threw up. The weird, like, we have this epic Sabretooth Wolverine fight, and they're like scratching at each other the whole time, and I'm like, where's the decapitation? Where is the blood?
And the misrepresentation of Deadpool in there.
They took away his mouth. They gave him sword arms. How do you bend your arm?
How do you bend your elbow?
And then they
use the bathroom.
Just bend.
And then they sewed his mouth shut.
Yeah. The Merc with the mouth. You show.
And they had that terrible line in the movie where they go, "We have pooled the different genetic pools of different mutants, but they're all dead. So they is now a dead pool."
Oh,
what
awful.
Are you talking about, dude?
when Wolverine gets he shows off his metal claws for the first time in the bathroom. And he's like, first of all, the graphics were rough. It looked like Roger Rabbit to me. But, like, why he can't control his claws. He's had claws his whole life. And now, because they're metal, he can't control them. And he's, like, cutting pop out everything. And
he's like, oh, giggity.
Yeah. He's cutting up, like, the toilet and stuff in the sink. And I'm like, what? What changed in his life? Like, I understand that they're metal now. But, like, he's slaughtering that bathroom by accident.
Yeah, I wish they would have just, if they would have, like, told the story of the whole opening credit sequence and kind of touched all the different parts in time, I think that would have been a really good movie.
I agree.
But they decided to just kind of gloss over that stuff and go, we're going to do something that has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah. Exactly, yes.
I will say, on a positive note, that the origin scene where he comes out of the water,
that was cool.
Still top tier.
That was cool. And then one of the things that I thought was pretty funny was one of the things I didn't like in that movie was used good in Logan, which was, and they even brought something from this movie into Logan, which I was surprised, which was the adamantium bullet.
Yes.
When they did that, and they said that that's how he lost his memory, was he got shot in the head.
Yeah.
I was like, this is terrible.
This is so bad.
But then in Logan, when he's killing stuff with the adamantium bullet, I went, okay, that's pretty cool. All
right.
So, but yeah, they overstuffed it. When they made that movie, they just decided to.
Actually, the funniest thing is that the thing I actually liked, I did not like a lot of things about that movie.
Yeah.
I hated the way he said Gambit. Gambit?
Gambit? Oh, yeah.
Gambit?
Yeah.
He said it all weird. No, what?
I forgot that Gambit was in that film.
Yep, Taylor Kitsch.
Oh, yeah, we all blocked
gracious.
It out. But
yeah,
no, the only thing I remembered is because of Gambit.
Gambit.
The Blob was in it. They put in so many
was
different
Was it Will
movies.
I Am in it?
Will I Am is, yes.
Which shouldn't have been in it.
Yeah,
place.
Will I Am it was in the movie, too. Oh, no, there's tons of mutants. There's a young Cyclops again, and a young Emma Frost and all this stuff. And they just overstuffed it. And they didn't need to.
But it was a unique example of, like, I thought casting was almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because Wolverine, again, pitch perfect.
No, sure. Casting's not, no.
But casting's
if you write
everything.
A poor movie, Spider-Man 3 is a poorly written movie with a horrible emo dance scene shoved in the middle of it for some
gracious.
Strange reason I never figured out why.
All right, so let's talk about Spider-Man 3 real quick.
I'm just saying,
no.
For, like, writing and on how to write.
No,
you're that was written poorly.
We finished our Wolverine obnoxious origins, right?
Yeah.
And moving into Spider-Man 3, there you have a kind of a legacy going, with Spider-Man being fine, Spider-Man 2 being almost pitch perfect.
Yeah, I'm rewatching them right now, actually. Yeah.
I like Spider-Man 2, but then you got to Spider-Man 3, and
What went wrong with that?
So
he suddenly turned into, like, a 14-year-old whiny teenager.
So
I was like, what?
So a couple things happened there was...
Well, part of it was definitely the production studio saying,
yes.
Which
hey,
we all understood
everybody
that.
Wants Venom.
Yeah.
Shove Venom in here.
Yep,
and Raimi's like, I didn't really plan for this.
I didn't really want
I guess that's cool.
So is the whole dance scene just a middle finger to the production company? Because that'd
I
be
don't
amazing.
Know, dude. I would love to ask him.
Yeah.
Well, and we all know... So Sam Raimi is a wacky dude.
Yes.
And I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like Darkman, Army of Darkness.
Evil Dead.
I love all that stuff. And it's really been fun watching the Spider-Man movies now because to see his little touches that I never got when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. The Doc Ock scene is absolutely...
Sam Raimi.
That's so
100%.
Sam Raimi. It's not even funny.
So there is a part of me. There is a part of me that said that he came up with that idea when they were making the movie, and he said, "Let's do this, and it's going to be awesome."
Right.
It just didn't turn out that way.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing with Sam Raimi is that sometimes he can have an idea and he'll do it, and you go, "That's goofy," and it's like, "Well, it's not goofy if you're not bought in." And you didn't buy into that. And I don't think he was bought into the Venom stuff at all.
Uh-uh.
The best stuff in Spider-Man 3 in the entire movie is all the Sandman stuff.
Yeah.
Because he wanted the third movie to be all about Sandman.
Yeah.
No Green Goblin. No Venom. just Sandman. So the strongest stuff.
I honestly would have been fine with that.
And I would have been too, because the strongest stuff. Movie. Thomas Hayden Church as Sandman is perfect casting.
And he does a great.
And he was great.
Yeah, he was.
So it's
weird.
The
graphics were fine. The fighting scenes were fine in that. It's definitely more like Doc Ock in that aspect.
Yes.
Like the bank robbery scene was fine with that one.
Sure.
But I'll tell you that I almost vomited physically when.
It's kind of funny. I forgot he was in that movie.
Green Goblin and him are surfing on the thing together, fighting Sandman. I'm like, oh, I can't do this at all.
Yeah, well, and then Topher Grace. Wait.
As Venom?
As Venom?
Yeah.
Really? Now, we've heard recently that Tom Hardy's going to be playing Eddie Brock in his own movie. That's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
He scares me. Without the Venom suit, Tom Hardy, if he got angry at me, would scare me. No, I have not seen Taboo yet.
That show will solidify this guy could play Venom.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that is great.
But he's a good actor.
He's
anyway.
A good actor.
I have hopes for that one.
Yeah, I have hopes for that one.
I want to see him go against our current Spider-Man, because Holland is a Tom Holland.
Tom Holland, yeah.
Tom Holland good. Next standing next to Hardy.
Yes.
Would be ridiculous.
It
will
be Hardy's ridiculous. Pretty yoked.
But Topher?
Topher Grace was
Grace.
Bad.
What are you talking about? And then the suit was just the black Spider-Man suit, which I get, but it's not, you know. Yeah. And we're going to throw in Gwen Stacy, but not really.
Right. There was just so many things that felt like... It felt like a casserole.
Yes.
All these parts should be good, but you just kind of mashed it up and called it something. Yeah.
Yes.
You didn't add spices.
No,
it's
nothing.
Horrible.
It's just peas, carrots, and mashed potatoes. It tastes like crap.
Yeah. Well, keeping it in that realm, there is a Spider-Man movie I think is worse than 3, though.
What's that?
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
With, really?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You and I we differ on this, but okay.
Yes. That's the one. That's the
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Jamie Foxx.
Yes. I
believe that Jamie Foxx was not the best take on Electro.
I did not like that at all. I did not like even though I do like the actor who played young Harry Osborn. Yeah. The stuff with Spider-Man and Andrew Garfield was good. He's always good.
The Gwen Stacy and I thought was good.
That stuff was good, but the...
I don't know if it's worse than the other one, but I didn't like it very much.
But the shoehorning into their relationship, the Green Goblin and him, was so rough. Here's your best friend for forever.
Well, and that's
where the hell was he at the last
movie? I guess,
don't worry about that.
And I guess for me, like I said, I'm rewatching them all now, and I'm trying to figure out where I rank them because I recently saw the new Homecoming movie.
Uh-huh.
But the Spider-Man 3 still had some heart to it and some stuff that I really liked. Like I said, Tom Hayden Church was a good villain. I still think that Topher Grace tried, even though he's not very good. Jamie Foxx, two-faced Tommy Lee Jones, stood up. He was spitting and sticking out his tongue and going blah and all this stuff. I'm like, no. You got Paul Giamatti
I
at the
fact
end.
That, he was pushing for that. Like, he was doing massive press. And then the movie came out and nothing. He didn't talk about it anymore. Jamie Foxx is just gone.
Yeah, because he went that kooky route. Same with the guy who did the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
And so, I agree with you. The Spider-Man Gwen stuff was good.
Like the classic.
Oh yeah,
it wasn't the bridge, obviously.
Sure.
Couldn't do that again. But
no, that was good.
I was okay with that.
But and as we've talked about here, I'm usually a positive person.
Yeah.
But halfway through Amazing Spider-Man 2 in the movie theaters, every time they switched from Spider-Man to anything else, I rolled my eyes, and I didn't do that in Spider-Man 3 where
didn't
I went.
Didn't I see that with you guys?
Yeah, we all went and saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how much I paid attention and cared.
I've only seen it once in theaters.
That's the time I saw it. Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
And I bought it because it was part of a cheap pack that I got because I'm a completionist.
I walked out of that and I told you that it was a trash can of a movie.
I
wasn't down with it very much.
I said, out of the Spider-Man movies, that's my least favorite.
That's an interesting take. I like it.
Yeah, that's my least favorite.
Yeah, Electro did. Jamie Foxx.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Has any of us, you maybe, I think Zach's got the biggest shot at this.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Has any of the three of us, and I guarantee you I have not seen it, seen the Halle Berry Catwoman movie?
I have not.
Okay, so we can't even talk about it.
We can't talk about it. I have not seen this.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
I have not seen the Catwoman.
We can talk about the trailer and how bad. That was such a misrepresentation.
Oh, no. I was like, yeah, I didn't watch that.
That ain't happening.
And I have not seen
I want to talk to any of you that have seen it. I want to know your motivations of going to see it. Like, I want to know if you just kind
of. Is cocaine a hell of a drug?
Yeah, I just want to know. If you've seen it, come in and tell me, because I want to know why. I just want to know how you walked in and went, I'm going to watch this movie.
So we're going to go ahead and leave that into what my pick. All
right, yeah, go for it.
I am
so this is his
not,
main focus.
I am not okay
and I'm gonna,
with the spirit.
Oh, man.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the spirit.
So I absolutely, dude, Will Eisner, his original spirit comics, I absolutely love them. Love them.
Right.
You know, granted, there's definitely some representations that by today's standards would be considered racist in that comic book, but it came out in the 1940s.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to period piece it a little bit.
There's a lot in the comic book before the 1940s.
Yeah, but that particular comic, the way it was written, I mean, it was very groundbreaking. This is why we have the Eisner Awards. I love
the way
comic
he
book.
Broke the panels and
because he was trying to do an 8-page story, and he was trying to fit a 32-page comic in an 8-page story, and he was doing pretty well with it.
He's doing good, yeah.
So he would design the cover to lead into it. It was already part of the story. Good. You were already there.
So
I loved Will Eisner's The Spirit. I absolutely loved the comic book. It's up there as far as one of my favorites that I've ever read. And I have 32 volumes of that at my house.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot, and I love the hell out of them.
Yes. Spirit is one of the.
So I was pretty jazzed, you know? Well, I'm like, hey, this might be a cool movie.
Well,
Frank Miller is going to direct it? I was like,
yep. He had just gotten done doing Sin City.
The first
which
was good.
Which was awesome.
It was a complete adaptation from Sin City. That movie was awesome.
That movie was great. And the trailers for the Spirit looked cool.
Okay,
they look cool. I went, okay. He said, I'm going to take the spirit, I'm going to put it in a Sin City world. And as soon as he said that and I saw the trailer, I went, oh, cool. It's going to be the spirit in Sin City. Mm-hmm. That's what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
that's how it happened.
I have never completely watched that movie.
I have.
I absolutely cannot get through it. And I have tried 4 separate occasions to watch that horrid piece of trash.
There is. So
it is. God awful.
So there is one.
It makes me want to go beat up Frank Miller in his fragile state that he is now. If I ever, I'd want to just get one in for, you know, Will Eisner. I'd be like, what the hell's wrong with you? Pop, and just pop him once. Don't do that. No. You ruined anything this guy had going for him. You just took it and you just threw it right out the window, Frank. Thanks. Mm, thanks,
absolutely.
Dude. Like, it's awful, dude. I actually tried to watch it in the theater.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless.
I didn't get very far.
I actually left. DVD, yeah.
And then I think you lent me the DVDs.
Yeah, right? I did.
Because I was like, all right, I got to give this another shot. 15 minutes in, I was like, I got to turn this shit off.
Yeah, I bought the DVD because
I don't think I've gotten more than about half hour, 40 minutes into the movie.
Okay.
I just can't finish it.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I'm a completionist, and I like having all the comic book movies.
Right.
Because I think it's an easy thing to acquire. You know,
used to be.
Well, I mean,
I would rather rub a cheese grater on my.
Well, yeah. So I was gonna get to that. I usually try and keep them all, and I usually try and have them all. Like the Punisher movies, I have all the Punisher movies, et cetera, et cetera. This movie I had on DVD, and then when I moved out of my mom's house, I lost it, and I've never thought about rebuying it. So
you know why? Because somebody took that and they took it to Guantanamo Bay, and they were torturing people to get information out of them by making them watch that crap. That's why.
So
that's why you don't have it.
And I remember watching The Spirit, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going, this is gonna be awesome. It's gonna be like Frank Miller Sin City, cool. And then the credits start, and he's jumping around buildings, and I'm going, yeah, this is excellent. Yeah. And then we start watching the movie, and I go, okay. And I go, it's a little campy. And I said, no, you know what? This is fine. This is gonna be like a campy, fun Frank Miller over the top thing. It's not going to be like Sin City deadly serious. That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm getting there. And then we get to the Samuel Jackson making little creatures of himself to fight the spirit. And I went, oh, I'm done. That is the moment where I went, this is terrible. Up until
who was the woman that was in it?
Scarlett Johansson.
No.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson. Scarlett,
she was one of them.
And Eva Mendes.
Eva Mendes.
Eva Mendes was the one I was talking about. Yeah.
I was trying to wait for...
at least just, that ass just, shot? Yeah.
Just to get to that, to be sure. Like, all right, I'm cool with that part.
Sure.
I couldn't even get that far, dude.
No, and...
It was that bad. I was like, you know, there ain't no ass enough to make you want to sit through this.
Like I said, I was okay, and then Samuel Jackson was... Samuel L. Jackson was the octopus in that, and he was chewing up scenery.
Oh, yeah, she was the villain, yeah.
Oh, she was the right hand hench, you know. But and Samuel Jackson was chewing scenery, and I think the moment I'm talking about is like an hour into the movie, so I didn't get longer in to where...
Was Scarlett Johansson sans serif?
No, I think that's, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Like, we don't even remember.
I don't remember.
I don't remember who
but,
was what.
But there's a scene.
Because I hated it so bad.
There's a scene. There is a scene where Samuel Jackson makes little versions of himself.
It's not little versions of himself. He makes little versions of the Andy.
Okay, whatever. It was terrible.
They're like thumbs.
Yeah, they're like thumb. They're like thumb things.
You know, that's it would just awful. Be easier. If anybody out there actually decides to watch this movie ever, just let me come over to your house and just hit you in the face a few times, because it'd be better.
You know what I would love? I would love it if one of our listeners like said, oh, I haven't seen like a lot of these, and then like watch them all, like all the ones we've read. This would be hilarious. This will
make you dumber.
This would.
I mean, you'll lose IQ points. And and Richie's going to say he likes it because he likes Frank Miller.
He hasn't said a lot because he's like,
it's
okay.
He drank, if it says Frank Miller, he's drinking the Kool-Aid, he's killing himself, he's going off to the planet with Frank Miller.
Yeah,
that's he's already there.
He is pretty much there.
It doesn't matter. It could be the worst. Frank Miller could take a shit on a plate, smash his hand into it, and Richie would be like, it's art! I love it. Can I buy that from you?
It's you know, it's postmodernistic.
I like
tell me I'm wrong.
I like the movie.
So
no, you didn't.
I did.
No.
No.
No, no you didn't.
You know you didn't. And this is coming.
You know who liked the movie? Nobody. Nobody
liked the movie. Frank Miller liked the movie. I did. And he made it.
I've watched it like 3 times.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Were you at least getting like a BJ while you were watching it? I mean, there's got to be a reason.
He was on drugs.
Now,
yes, he was on drugs. I would go with the drugs.
He's on drugs. On drugs. It could be fun.
You didn't like it.
I did.
You just,
I
really did. It just reaffirms that you have like no taste at all.
Taste. It just doesn't matter.
Really terrible taste.
I enjoyed it.
This isn't even, it's not even a movie. Dude.
I know.
It's just bad.
I agree with everything you guys said. It was over the top.
Santa's bringing you coal for saying that. Because you're lying.
I don't suggest it to other people, too. I do recognize...
Yeah, because they'll come over your house and beat you up.
Yeah, pretty much.
I understand why it's a very niche flavor, and that flavor is not for everyone. And
or you could just drink arsenic.
Some people like the taste of arsenic.
It tastes a very black
licorice. Tasteless, but that's cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, yeah.
All right.
I recognize it being a terrible movie. I don't try to say that it's not.
That's fine.
I would rather
watch Plan 9 from Outer Space, because at least that's funny.
Sure. Well, and we all have those movies that, that kind of do that.
This movie's like a sad clown vomiting on himself and then trying to eat that. That's like, I'd rather watch that. So, anyway, moving on.
All right, moving on. So
it's a good one. I like it.
So, I'll get into my, main focus.
Okay.
And I, because we thought up this, this topic, and I said I hadn't seen this in years. Couple years.
I kind of want to watch
The Spirit
again.
So I rewatched this. I rewatched this movie just last night because I wanted to take notes for this, and it was hilarious. My pick for my one is Superman IV: The Quest for Peace.
Oh yeah,
The Quest for More Money.
The Quest. Yes. So
The Quest for Licensing.
So the
three was Richard Pryor.
Three was Richard Pryor.
Okay, so I'm just trying to remember.
They went this even is Ducky. Further than that.
This is Ducky.
Okay, this is Ducky from Pretty in Pink.
Yeah. So I love the first two Superman movies.
John Cryer.
That's his name. Yep. Yeah.
The first two Superman movies, classics, love them. The third one, I really enjoy. The Richard Pryor stuff is goofy, but it's funny. And the stuff with Smallville
like a smart computer programmer
he's a guy who...
I haven't watched that since the 80s.
So. In the third movie, he's a criminal who gets out of jail. He can't find a job. But then he goes to college, and he learns about computers. And he starts stealing from banks and stuff that way. And he's hired by... Robert Vaughn to help him with his evil, dastardly plans. But it's goofy. Richard Pryor is funny, though. And the stuff with Annette O'Toole, who would later play Martha Kent on Smallville. The Smallville stuff in 3 is great.
All right.
So the third one's great. They took the third movie, which had less money than the first two movies, and they halved it for Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Because they're like, we can still milk this cow.
Yeah.
Different for more money.
Different people, different production companies took over this movie, different writers. It was like whole new people. The only reason why they got people back, because... Christopher Reeve said, if you give me writing credit and let me talk about stuff that I care about. So he introduced the nuclear war aspect. And they got Gene Hackman.
You never let the actors take control.
You never let them. So in Superman
Quest... Lunatics are running the asylum here.
And they've got Gene Hackman...
really close to the current Batman situation we have. Where Affleck was like, I was a badass Batman. I should write and direct myself. And he's like, oh, I shouldn't do that.
No, he's a good director. I just don't think he should.
But when it comes to Batman...
You got to step aside and let somebody
else
tell
you. Just be Batman. Let someone else tell the story.
So the basic story of this is...
Oh, yeah, take us through this.
Yeah, I'm going to take you through it. So the basic story is you meet Superman. It's the regular kind of, Metropolis Day. And you find out that the world is in an international nuclear crisis where at any moment Russia and America are going to blow up the world. And this movie came out in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
The same year as Predator.
Yep.
Which is...
Much better movie.
Which is crazy when you look at the production values. But anyway, so everyone's kind of freaking out. What do they do? There's a hilarious overdubbed kid who they ask, what would you do? He goes, I'll ask Superman to stop him. It's terrible. He sends a letter saying Superman should take all the nuclear weapons and destroy them. And, so he does. He grabs all the nuclear weapons and puts them in a big net, and he throws them into the sun.
Which, for the record, would make an amazing comic book. Jeff Johns can get a hold of that, and I think we can get some out of it.
So, now, the funny thing is that, and it's so great, because the UN and everyone's fine with it.
There's a comic book called Authority, where they kind of see that. Yeah.
So they're all fine with that. The bee...
Of course they are.
Yay! Yeah, everyone's fine with it. It's great. Gene Hackman...
We have an overlord.
Lex Luthor, Gene Hackman, gets broken out of prison.
Globe.
gets broken out of prison by Ducky, who comes in this really cool convertible car. And this is the kind of movie we're talking about. The two policemen who are watching the Chain Gang go, that's a pretty car. And I'll see if I can do my John Cryer. He says stuff like, oh no. He goes, you should check it out. So they jump in the car, and he has the convertible and the locks and everything go, and he launches them off of a cliff with a remote controlled car, and the car explodes, right?
Right.
And then they cut to Lex Luthor and him,
sounds
and he's like
some pretty good writing.
Yeah. No. Wait. Here's what I love. So they start talking about their escape plan, and then they cut to a scene where they're crawling out of the wreckage, and their hair's all up because of they got
cartoon style
out of
their Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, so Lex Luthor's plan is to get a piece of Superman's hair, mix it with his genetics, put it on one of the nuclear weapons that Superman's going to throw into the sun, and when he does this, it will create a new character called the Nuclear Man.
He just knows that?
He just knows that. They just talk about it.
You need, like, ovaries?
Well, he's a super genius.
He's a super genius.
Good boy.
So now, if you have kids around or anything like that, this is PG-13. I'm not going to go R.
We already talked about Eva Mendes' butt.
Well, that's true. So there's a scene when this scene is...
part of that movie. We can agree.
When this scene is happening, Lex Luthor is talking to Ducky, and he said, I'm going to mix part of Superman's with
with my DNA, right? And he has Superman's hair. And then he, and I'm not joking, look it up on YouTube, I'm not joking, he grabs a ball that looks like it's a ball of condoms.
So it's a bunch of Lex Luthor's used rubbers?
Yes. And he says, I will use my genetic materials to merge with Superman to make the ultimate weapon. And they put it on this, and they put it on a nuclear weapon. He gets thrown into the sun. And
because they just have access to that kind of thing.
Yes.
And 9 months later.
Oh, no, not even 9 months later. It's like minutes.
It was pretty much instantaneous. I've actually seen this movie.
Yes.
I have too.
A long blonde haired Dolph Lundgren like character shows up, and this is one of the lines of the movie. Lex Luthor is talking to him and he goes, "Oh yeah, you're gonna be my you know, foil for Superman," and he says, "You can do it,
Superman."
He goes, "You have my voice," and he goes, "No, you have my voice." Gene Hackman overdubbed the main character because it's part of his genetic material. So they start fighting. Superman and him start fighting, and one of his
I'm already out. I want to walk away.
One of his
do we have to finish this podcast?
Yes. One of his attacks is that his nails grow really long, his silver nails. And
he cuts you.
And he cuts Superman in the neck.
He makes Superman go, oh!
Yep.
It sounds and like Superman, Origins with Sabretooth, just so you know.
Superman gets sick and has to figure out a way to come back. And of course, he's talking with Lois, who gives him the hope to come back. And at the end of the movie, Superman throws him into a nuclear reactor, and everyone's lights get really bright. And there you go.
He didn't fly around the Earth and
no, he did push the moon. Backwards. He did push the moon in front of the sun because Nuclear Man's powers comes from the sun. And when Superman realized that he just needs to be in shade, he pushed Superman's the moon.
Powers
can we just talk about too. Real quick how we've discussed how like DC, like everyone's like. They're like,
everybody bags Superman, on these DC movies now. You all need to go watch this Superman, stuff. Because you'll be like, these movies are Oscar worthy after watching this.
I almost kind of get the anger about Superman now because the old Superman used to like spin time around backwards, go push the moon.
Wait.
Gather all nuclear weapons and take them out.
So, yes. All of this being said about the Superman movie, still better than The Spirit.
You know what? I will agree. Because
still better
because you know than what?
The Spirit. I need to watch it again, and I'll tell you.
Because you know what?
Tell me nothing.
Because I do own this movie on Blu-ray, and I did rewatch it, and I laughed a lot.
Our current Superman couldn't stop a bomb in a courtyard room. Superman, I mean, he's doing things.
Well, they were playing with that idea because he can't see through lead-lined stuff. Yeah. Everybody knows that.
I'm just saying the other Superman would have got through it. Christopher Reeve would have pushed, he'd have flipped the world backwards a couple times, rewind that shit. And
yeah, like, I said no.
Yeah. Some more fun...
that cellophane S on
so
it.
Some more fun goofy stuff.
I love the cellophane S. That was great.
Nuclear Man destroys the Great Wall of China, and Superman
doesn't he rebuild it with his eyes?
Yes, he does. He rebuilds it with his laser eyes.
This is amazing.
He's just like rebuilding.
He looks at the rubble and he looks at the thing and they start putting it back together.
Itself?
Yes.
Well, he just threatens it. It just goes right back to where it should be.
On a molecular level.
And then there's a callback. Then there's a callback to Superman 2, which I really don't like because it gets a little creepy in 4. Superman goes and he's having this real crisis of faith because he's sick and he doesn't know what to do because
the
world...
common cold and he doesn't know how to handle it.
He reveals that he's Superman to Lois Lane, and she goes, "You know what, in my
is
heart
the kiss
the second time the first time's in Superman 2 the
he kisses her again
in 4
what a creepy
bitch. Yeah, I know, I know. He takes
I
her
just
out.
Feel like I gotta tell you this and then I gotta
let's
give you these groupies
he takes her out again in Superman 4 on a flight, and they go, I love you, I've always loved you, I've always known in my heart that you're my one Clark and you are the same, and he goes, that's great, and he kisses her, and he goes, oh, what am I doing here, Clark, and he does it again. Now, talk about how low budget. Now to talk to you about how low budget this movie is, though.
Oh.
They have one scene
of Christopher Reeve flying towards the camera, and they reuse it every time they use it. So when he's flying in Italy, it's the same shot. Anybody, in space, it's the same shot.
Yeah, because they can afford to get him to do it.
They couldn't.
But do for anybody who's ever watched Honest Trailers, just go watch the Honest Trailers.
He mentioned that. It's hilarious. I need to watch that.
It is hilarious.
Yes. So again, when it comes to bad movies, I still enjoyed it because I laughed my butt off at how bad it was, and Gene Hackman just chewing up the scenery.
You have to laugh because otherwise you'd be really upset.
Yes, exactly.
This is my hero you're reacting with.
Exactly. So, I mean, I still own it. I'm a Superman fanatic, so I still get it. But if we're talking about bad movies, Quest for Peace is one of them.
So here's the question. I know I shouldn't ask this question, but so obviously in Quest for Peace, the misrepresentation of that character is leaps and bounds.
Oh, you're so funny.
I did not mean that. That's good. But
dang.
Comparatively, do you think that Frank did worse at representing the character than
Ford did? Yeah, because here's the thing, is that even
he's a fan. That's what I think that with the spirit, that is what pissed me off the most, is I knew he was a fan.
Yeah.
He's a huge fan of the spirit.
He's a huge fan.
And he could like completely screw that up. I don't get it.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, dude, so you took something you have like a love for.
There is still
moments. You just straight up screwed it up. I mean, bad.
There is still moments in Superman IV, The Quest for Peace. There's not many.
There's not many, but
there is still some,
like one. There's one scene.
There is still some moments in here where Christopher Reeve being Superman.
That's great.
The only part that Frank Miller got right was the tie.
Yes.
That was it.
Visually, that was good. But yeah, the spirit as a character, the way that I haven't read as much as Sean, but I have read some, that was not that. That was just Frank Miller doing a crime story with a character that looks like the spirit, and he wanted to take some of those elements.
And he wanted to mix it with some really wacky.
He really didn't want to make a spirit type movie. He wanted to take the spirit and make it himself.
More extreme than Sin City.
Absolutely. It really is.
Because Sin City does crazy things. Marv does ridiculous things.
But Sin City was so true to what the source material was, it wasn't even funny.
Right.
Like he did, that was perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you take that and you he's got something else he's that passionate for, and he does that to it? I don't get it, dude.
So we're gonna wrap up. I want to make an honorable mention.
Well, I was gonna say we have to talk about the number one,
right? Batman and Robin is what we're throwing out there.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Still better than the spirit.
But you want to talk about a money grab?
Oh no!
Chill out.
I don't think that they could have been more upfront about. Yeah,
Schumacher basically said, "Hey, I wanted to make this for kids."
He wasn't making it for adults. He was making it straight up for 12 and under kids.
Well, yeah,
which was Warner Brothers' direction to him.
Well, yeah. So basically, what happened was Batman was a huge successful hit. They said, "Do whatever you want, Tim Burton."
Not a good idea.
Well, he made Number Two, which is really dark, and it didn't make as much money as Number One.
So they assumed that it was because it was dark.
So then they did Joel Schumacher with Batman Forever.
And they said, you got to go back to the 60s.
And so they made it more...
before that.
But Batman Forever, they added more camp and more fun, and that one did better than any of them.
Right.
That's the number one of that series is still Batman Forever.
And the funny thing is, I actually don't really like any of those Batman movies.
I like the soundtrack. To Batman Forever.
Kiss from a Rose. I like Batman Forever, but anyway, we're not talking about that. But then Warner Brothers
Seal.
The Warner Brothers, from the moment that they said make Batman and Robin to shooting the movie, was 6 months.
Right.
He had 6 months to make to get a script, to find people, and to go. 6 months is usually how long they take to start a script.
Right.
6 months from you need to make Batman and Robin.
To premiere?
to him starting to film people.
Right.
And that's nothing.
Yeah.
And like you said, everything had to go through marketing. All the suits and all of the stuff had to go through. This is going to be cool as a toy.
They had, not only did they do costume changes in this series, they also did vehicle changes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they did...
The Batmobile was atrocious.
They did two Batmobiles in it because they needed to make sure there was two different options to buy.
Yes.
The puns... the terrible misuse of Alicia Silverstone.
Uma Thurman.
What has happened to her?
Bane.
I don't know. I love that woman, though.
She, like, disappeared.
Yeah, she's absolutely gone. I have no idea where she's at.
Yeah.
I think she went crazy.
Yeah, she did go crazy.
Yeah.
Did she?
Yeah, she did.
I think that's...
I mean, I don't follow people.
Yeah, she like...
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, yeah. But the misrepresentation of Bane, Mr. Freeze, being a Mr. Freeze fan, all I hear every time I go, I like Mr. Freeze.
You and I both were hurt really bad by this movie because I did the same thing with Nightfall. I had almost come right off of Nightfall and they said Bane was going to be in this movie and I was like... My 12-year-old self was losing his marbles.
Sure.
And then you watched that screen and you were like, what the...
And at 12, I watched this movie and I turned into a 36-year-old. I was just like, no. This is... This is shattering my dream. Like, I should have been like, yeah, eating popcorn and stuff. Where Marvel kind of takes me back to 12-year-old, that movie actually shot me up to where I am now, where I was just like, no. This is
you
not...
You became cynical.
Yeah, I was just a cynical
man. This is how I found being cynical.
Yes.
That's how it lit it in me.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah.
So I'll make a suggestion for people. The podcast Batman on Batman by Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
They did audio tracks to these movies.
Fantastic. 100%.
All four of them.
Hilarious.
Yeah, and the fourth one. Funny. The fourth one
is so much fun.
It made the movie so much better for me. They talk about, because Alfred's sick in it.
Yeah.
And he keeps like leaning up against the wall and having like these weird
coming soon. Like, I'm just dying here soon.
And they talk about like how he has like this weird sex addiction, and like every time he sees Robin, he's like, oh god, that boy is just so hot, and he like leans up against the wall. Hilarious.
It is hilarious. Yeah,
but
check those out.
But they also talk about how Chris O'Donnell's like a 46-year-old man.
And he's my sidekick. He's older than George Clooney. Yeah,
like,
it's great.
Like, we need to help this poor orphan boy that's 72.
It's great. That's hilarious. So check that out.
Because those are all, like, it's just the movie missed on all cylinders, and I'm so happy with what we have today and the nitpicking that people do with...
I think people get a little overzealous with their nitpicking. Because
I think they just might have forgotten what we had even 5-6 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But with that said, we didn't mention Fantastic Four.
No, I mean, there's others. There's definitely others.
So, yeah, who's all here seeing the last Fantastic Four?
Nobody.
Crickets.
Even the crickets shut
guys,
up.
Here, how about this? If you guys really enjoyed this episode, let us know, and we can do a part two.
Yeah.
Because there is still some more movies out there. So.
But that is us spitting a little negativity on our usually very positive podcast.
Yeah.
And until next time, we'll catch you later.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
See you later.